Welcome back to A Bevy of Bloods for round 10 of the AFLW 2023 season. We are here to celebrate the amazing win over Frio that secures the Swans into its very first AFLW final season. Get excited. So fluff up those feathers and settle in for potentially and probably biased yarn about all things to do with our beloved Bloods. Okay, friends and family, Swans fans, unite as we get around the girls for our final season. This week, we are polyless. We are meandering around the Swans wilderness without a poly, but there's good news. We've got the old crew here. Steve-O, welcome back to the potty. It's you and me again, mate.
Cheers, mate. Good to be here, mate. What a win. But yeah, I'm still not quite believing we're in the finals, but we're there.
I can't believe it. Before we get too stuck into this game, we spoke about the review. I was very, very hot at the beginning of the season. I'm like, oh, I reckon we'll be battling for like 9 and 12, right? And you were like, look, if I get 2-3 wins, I'd be very happy with this season.
Yeah.
And I felt that I was really reaching way too high. The girls have surpassed that by flying colours. Like, it's unbelievable that they've made finals.
Yeah, I think I haven't listened back to it, but I'm pretty sure I think I wanted to at least win a game and not come last. I think that was my hope for the season. And yeah, look at where we are now.
They've done that and more. All right, well, let's get stuck into the game quickly. Last Sunday, our Sydney Swans defeated the Frio Dockers away by 22 points with the final score for the Swannies 5-10-40 and Frio 2-6-18. First impression, Steve-O, what did you see from the game? What got your eye?
Oh, look, it was a bit of a mess for the first three quarters, really, wasn't it? Fremantle, they put a lot of physical pressure and they turned it into, it was a slog of a game. The Swans weren't getting that outside fast ball movement. They've been doing really well the last, month or so, like especially since the halfway point of the season. And then as the game went on, I think Frio, they sort of dropped off a bit. The game became far more open and the Swans then really started to make the most of their chances. And really, if you think about it, with 5 minutes left, I was looking back at the replay, with 5 minutes left in the third quarter, we still weren't in the final. So it was only in the last 22 minutes of playing time in the season that we managed to get into that position that we're in the finals and then kicked, four goals to nothing from then on. It was amazing.
But I'm such a fan.
I do have one gripe, though, or one unpleasant thing from the game. I was planning to watch it because it was on really early in the morning finish time. The game was on at like 8 a.m. and it was a Sunday morning. And we had our end-of-season party for our footy team here the night before, so I thought I'd watch the replay. I'd wake up with the AFL, like the Watch AFL app that you pay like €150 a year to get access to. When I opened up the app, on the first page, they already had next week's fixtures on there, so I already saw we were playing Gold Coast. So I didn't know the result of the game, but I already knew that we got through the finals, which was a nice way to wake up. But still, yeah, it took all of the bloody stress and excitement, I guess, away from it, which maybe wasn't a bad thing. But yeah, like, how hard is it to figure that out? So Watch AFL, if you're listening, and this isn't the first time it's happened either. It happens for the men's as well with finals games. Just sort it out, just fix it.
All the other apps, like I know KO has like a hide results button. MLB International that I was also part of had hide results until you actively go in there and see the result. So they've really screwed you over. They did a good job of it. Well done.
Yeah, because you can hide the results, but then you can't not see the upcoming fixtures when you go to their main screen when you open it. So you don't know the scores, but you know who's playing next week. So in the case of finals, it wrecks it.
Well, I had a slightly different approach to mine. I had my grandmother's 90th birthday that I had to go to, and that was a totally different experience. So we're sitting there, happy birthday, Nan, cake and everything. We're eating away, having a couple of drinks, all dressed up in racist clothing because she wanted everyone to dress up in racist for some reason. I'm not sure why. But she's Nan, she's 90, she gets what she wants.
Like horse races, sure, you mean, or like running races?
Yeah, like horse races. Yeah, no, yeah, horse races. Cool. Seeing Nan dressed up as like Kathy Freeman would have been interesting. But
it would have been amazing.
we just put our hat on her. She had her best time. But I was doing my best to go watch the game in the living room on like being quiet, so I had to gain kind of low, and I was sitting there trying to listen to it. And that lasted about 5 minutes before I'm like, come on, girls, and I'm screaming at the damn TV. And then in comes my dad, in comes mom, in comes my cousins and everyone. We're all basically sitting there, and I'm, you know, teaching the non-AFL people how to watch the game and everything. It was wild. And yeah, the whole family kind of got into it. And then, of course, by the time the song came up and I started screaming the song, then the whole family knew all about what was going on. And I didn't get to play any tricks on nobody. He just kind of came through. But it was worth every bit of that. It was fantastic. It was a fantastic day. We need to throw a shout out for Zane Renan White. I feel bad because Zane really, really wanted a Geelong home final. So a Geelong home final. He lives in Geelong, of course. That would have made a lot of sense. He suggested he would pick us up from the airport, although he said there's two kids' seats in the back. Good luck to you. Oh, well, I can sit on the roof, Zane's all right. So unfortunately, the girls didn't get up enough to play Geelong, but I kind of feel, and we were talking about this earlier, do you think this is probably the better thing? Do you think that we match up a bit better against Gold Coast than we do Geelong? Is that of interest?
Yeah, I was quite happy with the Gold Coast result, and I think in the last quarter, they didn't mention it on the coverage, but doing some very, very quick math, and my quick math isn't always
crunching
reliable,
numbers. Yeah,
yeah, I think that we were actually playing Geelong until Fremantle scored that very, very late behind, and I think it was that point that flicked it. I'm not sure, but I think that was the case. Yeah, I reckon that. I mean, Geelong, they did a number on us early in the season. It was in round two when we were still getting going. And I think if we played them later in the season, it would probably be a bit of a different thing because of where we've improved over half of the season, the second half of the season. But I think the Gold Coast, and we'll talk about this more when we preview the game, I guess. I think the Gold Coast for us, they look like they're roughly where we're at in terms of how their season results have gone. And we haven't played them this year, so they're a bit of an unknown in that sense. We did play them in the preseason. So I'm not at all unhappy with the Gold Coast result.
Yeah, no, same. I think, and just for me, as someone who's going to travel to watch the game over there in Gold Coast, I'm sorry, Zane, but I'd be happier to go to the Gold Coast leading up to summer than down to sunny, sometimes Geelong. So, yeah, let's just leave that there. It's a nice place, but Geelong's not at Gold Coast. I will also give a massive shout out to the WA Swans group, who had a very good contingent of people out there. They were definitely the louder between Frio, although it was a Frio home ground advantage. It didn't seem like that on coverage. It seemed like the Swans fans were way, way louder. And Daz, the president of the WA Swans group, actually reached out to me. I was very proud of our WA Swannies turning up in big numbers for the game, drowning out the Frio crowd. At the end of the game, the girls said that they couldn't believe how many Swans fans were out there and as loud as they were. So the girls noticed, well done to everyone there. And he even mentioned that Swans HQ actually reached out to him and said he could hear them loudly on the telecast. So really, really big shout. And I think Polly mentioned it last week, perhaps, that the numbers around the game, the Swans might have the better numbers, perhaps, without us crunching any numbers on the fly. But we might just get good numbers at games because we might be the Collingwood of the AFLW, where we can drag people out to games. What's your take on it? Do you think we are? Is there a reason for it? Is it just at the most biased idea ever? It could be any one of those.
It's hard to say because I'm watching this from a distance. I've never been in Australia when the AFLW season's been on, especially since the Swans are going. But from a distance, just watching it through the TV and through media and stuff, it seems like there's a real excitement and energy around the Swans AFLW. And you see that in the crowds that are turning up to Henson Park and to North Sydney Oval. And, you know, if we're getting the majority of more vocal fans in Fremantle of all places, that really says that the excitement's not just in Sydney, you know, which is great.
Yeah, love it. Swans fans everywhere rejoicing. Okay, we should start talking about the game. We just talked about a bunch of different stuff, mate. Good and bad stats, mate. I'll give it straight over to you. What did you see from the game, things you want to point out about the game specifically?
The first thing I really like is just how good our attack is. Last year we talked about, at the end of last year and also the start of this year, about how we just weren't scoring goals. And we were able to play this, you know, really tight, tough sort of Swans brand football of you know, contested football and tackling and pressure. And that's great. But last year we just did not have the elite finishing players like ball movers to make the most out of all that high grunt work. So we just weren't hitting the scoreboard. This year, we've gone from not winning a game with a percentage of about 35, I think our percentage was last year, roughly, to a percentage which is over 100, and we've got the fifth best attack in the league. The only teams that are ahead of us for attack in the AFLW this year are the top four teams, you know, Adelaide, Melbourne, Brisbane and North. That's it. We're the fifth. We're the next one in terms of points scored. So that for me is a huge thing from this game, and we showed it in the last quarter that when the game did open up a bit, once that sort of grind part of the game went away and we were able to get the game more open and there was more quick ball movement. We pumped on goals. We banged on three in quick time in the middle of that last quarter. So the strength of the Swans attack this year, I think, is what I'm really excited about going into the first final for the club.
And it's not just them hanging around the forward line just trying to get the ball and then asking for it. They're going up high as well. You're seeing Cynthia, you know, attacking the ball from well up high. You see, sometimes you see Privatelli well up high on the wing trying to get something going, or they're trying to impact the ball where it makes sense, dragging her opponent up. So there's definitely the work rate for those forwards is massive. And and if they can also go ahead and kick straight and get some goals pumping when we need them, yeah, mate, it's a big win for us. One thing I did want to note on the lighter side is that there was a big trip out to WA, of course. You know, the flight feels like it's 24 hours. It feels like another part of the world. Well, I mean, it is another part of the world, most isolated capital city going around. And I actually asked the girls on social media what they were going to be doing for, you know, to pass the time. And, you know, Privatelli at the time was just downloading quickly some podcasts. And Newman had brought in a colouring book with her to go with. Tarrant had Annette Brookman's book that she was going to read, the bloke who ran from WA to Sydney, incredible bloke. And Malloy, when they asked Malloy, what are you going to do for the trip? She's like, oh, I'm just going to watch Privatelli highlights on YouTube or something for the whole trip. I thought that was gorgeous. It was really, really funny.
Oh, mate.
What else did you see, mate, from the game before I crack onto some of Polly's things that I promised her that I'll say in her voice?
I'm looking forward to that, so I'll be quick. one other thing that I wanted to bring up, this is amazing, and it sort of popped into my mind when I was watching it, and I didn't hear it on the coverage. Maybe it's come up in other media that I haven't seen, but I did some looking back into the history of all of the AFLW over eight seasons and all of the VFL/AFL men's league going back to 1897. This is the first time that I could find that a team has come from a zero win season and made finals the following year, which I think is pretty amazing.
Yeah. That's interesting. I haven't heard anything like that going around. Like, if you're right, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, the only exception I could find was in 1898, 1999, and 1900, St Kilda came off zero win seasons and they made finals the next year. But in those days, all eight teams made the finals and they still bottom with zero wins and lost all of their finals because they played like a mini round robin finals type thing. So in any season where there's been a competitive entry to the finals, no one has come off a zero season and then made it ever in 130 something years across two competitions.
I think anything prior to the White Australian policy doesn't come into effect with statistics.
Yeah, true. So we can, Australia wasn't even like federated in that period. I mean, God.
Was anything prior to Australia being existing? Was it 1901, I think, from memory?
Yeah, like pre-constitution shouldn't count against against our Swans girls.
Yeah, so yeah, look, we'll take it. That's huge. That's really incredible stuff. That is really interesting. So I might double check that and get that around. That's pretty
fun. Might want to check my numbers before you get too excited on social media. Yeah. But I think that's right.
That's awesome, mate. Awesome. Well, I did promise I'd say a couple of Polly's out, and I promised her I'd do it in her voice. So give me a second. Let me just quickly swig some of this Coopers. One moment.
Just get into roll. Go on.
Swing my hair around a bit. It was the best pressure team could handle. Freo's pressure in the first half felt like every kick was smothered.
Is that what Polly sounds like?
I don't know. I think so to me. Polly was pointing out that the pressure from the Swans were huge, and the Swans actually did absorb a lot of the pressure that Freo were giving. Good shout from Polly. And she also pointed out something that's kind of quite very true. I think the girls are always finding ways to put teams away, with the exception of GWS, our very first win. All of the wins have been plus 13. If AFL, fair enough, not a whole lot, but AFLW, that is a decent amount. Two goals is a decent amount for a win. So the girls do have a way of just, you know, stomping to the ground when they have to and finishing off those games. So, yeah, a good couple, good stats there. Hopefully I've done Polly's voice proud. If I haven't, please send the hate mail somewhere else. I don't need it. We've got enough of that elsewhere. One thing I wanted to point out, mate, Elisa Vale, in her third game, I think you were mentioning before, but first for this season.
Yeah.
I felt she played a pretty good game. I don't know, what did you take from it?
Yeah, she was solid, and she looked like she did her job. Mm. And there's only third game she played, two last season, but this was her first for the year. So to come in round 10 in a crucial game, which you absolutely need a result to progress in the season. I thought she settled into the team quite nicely.
Seashells.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one. I should have practiced that before. She settled in.
Yeah, she settled in. I noticed that in the first quarter, I think her first two kicks were smothered. Maybe a handball and then two kicks after were all smothered. She was in the fire early. But, yeah, I agree with you. I felt that she looked really good, kind of quite natural in there. So we've got some injuries perhaps. We don't really know. We'll find out more during the week, but how Steenan's those pick up. But, yeah, she might have herself a good role to play for these finals if we go deeper into it especially. Mate, favourite moments, anything that you noticed from the game that you wanted to point out?
I liked, did you see Chloe Malloy's ruck trick in the first quarter to absolutely milk it / steal that set shot that she converted for a goal? That was unbelievable. I've never seen that. Apparently she did it last week as well, according to the commentators. But that was very, very clever. And she's probably not going to get away with it much anymore because everyone's going to be wise to it.
We've seen it.
But it still got us one. And in a tight, low-scoring game, it was a goal that I'll take.
Yeah. And so for everyone at home playing, it was so they're in our forward pocket, basically, about 35 out. They called for a ball up and she nominated herself as the ruck. And then the person that was tagging her, that was on her, didn't see her nominate herself. And she kind of walked around a little bit and basically just walked forward into the girl that was meant to be tagging her. And of course, she puts hands on her because she didn't see that Chloe was going to be the ruck. And of course, you know, interrupting a ruck, interference, bang, free kick for Chloe, and then got the goal off the back of that. So pretty clever stuff from the old captain, co-captain. Hopefully we can get a goal from that every week, just tricking them out. That'd be sweet. One thing I want to ask you, mate, the goal or no goal, Frio kicked a goal, I think in either the third or the fourth, firstly it was Brooke Lachlan, I think, got a tackle. It was a hard effort by a bunch of girls who kind of slowly dragged the ball down, got it slow, but then a Frio forward got it, kicked it at goal. It hit the goal umpire. And then the goal umpire suggested it was behind. The broadcast suggested they might have been lucky. And it split the community a little bit and split myself, to be honest with you. Did you see that? What did you think of that? Goal or no goal?
Yeah, it was to the left of screen. So I'm trying to think. So that means it must have been the third quarter thing because we finished to the left of screen. Yeah. So, yeah, so because it wasn't the first quarter. So it must have been the third quarter that it was in. My main problem with this is the person who has the best view of this most of the time is the goal umpire and any officials that happen to be close to it. The TV camera angles are so often inconclusive. In this case, it certainly looked from the angle that we had that the ball was going to curl in and be a goal. But, you know, the umpires have to make a decision in a short period of time and there's no goal review in the AFLW, so I don't know what else the umpires could have done. And luckily, in the end, it didn't cost the game because the Swans won by 20 odd points, but if it had been a closer game, I think Fremantle people would have been justifiably angry because it looked like it was going through for a goal. But at the same time, in this system that exists how could you have got a different outcome once the goal umpire and the umpires had conferred and decided that they weren't sure and they erred on the side of caution with giving the point. So I think it was an example of why, unless you've got a very fair way of having a goal review system which is consistent across all venues in a competition, you know, sometimes you're going to get bad goal calls, just like you get bad holding the ball calls and bad in the back calls and high tackle, whatever. So I'm not too bothered by it, but I'm not a Fremantle fan either. So
yeah. I mean, that could have also been different to us playing, firstly finals, of course, but it didn't. But the Cats and Geelong as well. So, but for what it matters it to me, first off, I'm like, yeah, that was behind, and then I changed my mind, that was a goal, and now I'm inconclusive. I back you, which is back the refs, back the goal umpire. That's what they're there for. Let's move on. If you think it's a howler, go out there and pick up some sticks and do it yourself and try to be a bit better. But
yeah, it was close tough. Enough. Yeah, and in that one, it kind of looks like. Because when the goal umpire, because the goal umpire, the guy that was in there, his natural position when the ball's like that is probably to be like on the line, and he was just a little bit not quite on the line. So he gets hit, probably feels the padding behind him or knows the post is behind him. Okay, right, if I'm on my line, then I've been hit, then it's probably going to hit the post. And he's not looking at the video to make a decision, so I don't think we can expect him to. Yeah,
exactly. He just literally is in the middle of the mix of things, had a ball kicked at him at full pace. And jumping around the place, you know, hit some padding, ball hits him, he's looking down the line, there's a lot going on. And he's just like, yeah, look, from what I know, this is probably a behind. Ah, fair enough. Close enough. If we're still talking about it, then it was a 50-50. And as far as I'm concerned, it's up to the goal umpire, right? Just let that go.
And these fields, the other thing with the AFLW in particular, look, I think that the way that it's done in the men's is bad enough with the inconsistency.
Oh, it's brutal.
With camera angles and all of this crap that goes on in the men's, that's already enough of a mess. To try and bring in goal review, if that was the decision, in the AFLW when we're playing on all sorts of grounds that don't have the camera angles available, it's going to be a nightmare. So I'm happy that occasionally you just get one wrong. This is what football is.
Yeah, if anyone wants to hear, of course, we refer back to the men's season, to the round 23, I think, against Adelaide. Where that really controversial goal, non-goal situation happened, which made the Swans get through to the finals and Adelaide potentially miss out. They did miss out in finals because of that. Let me just say this much. Go listen back to that episode. We get into it for a good what feels like 30 minutes. It's pretty fun. and at the end of it all, we come back with either back the umpires or don't and put technology there. Do one or the other. Stop blaming the umpires. Blame the AFL for having that system. That's where it should be. One quick one I do have, mate, and it's a bit of a mischance, and I really want to be very, very clear here. I want to say this with a lot of with grace and with support. Ruby Sergeant Wilson's efforts since she's been back in the game has been superb, absolutely superb. She is running super hard, getting around. A couple of moments of just polish that I just wish if she could take back, that would just made her go from like being a solid player in the team to being looking like she's elite to like this incredible game. One was Montana Ham's first shot at goal. It looked like Ruby had a good opportunity to shepherd the pressure off her. And so Montana had to quickly snap. It was 2-on-1. If she shepherded it, I felt that Montana could have had a walk-in run onto the goal. So that was that one. Another option is when Ruby, she had a 2-on-1 with a Frio defender, and it was her and Cynthia basically just screaming into the 50. Rather than passing it off and doing like, you know, a give and go or something, she just busted it up forward, and they got a stoppage up in the forward over there, and I think they bounced it back out. So a couple smaller moments. Ruby is gun. I'm happy with her. None of that stuff, but just a couple of things that if she just polished that up, my God, I reckon she would have looked so good this week. So, so good. She looked good, but she would have looked elite. And that's the difference between those two differences there, like that extra piece of class, I think. Mate, do you have any others before I give out Polly's favorite moment?
No, just on that too, like we had a couple of opportunities in that more congested part of the game when we were able to break forward, but then because our forwards had pushed so high, we were taking the ball into a totally empty forward 50 and it just didn't quite connect. And the ones you gave there were examples of that. And there were several others too where where we were kicking to an empty 50, but Fremantle were able to get back quicker because they had, they had better legs, or we just didn't take the right options. And that's probably not the way that the Swans normally would be wanting to play that style. But when we do get forced into that style, we need to be able to think about how we take the ball inside 50 rather than, like you said, just roosting it and hoping, or not clearing space.
Yeah, I mean, we have excellent like support run players. Like, what we do get numbers around an outside ball. The ball goes into a pocket off the wing or something, you know, like an errant kick or something goes into the distance, and then it's basically, it typically is an opposition and two of our players going for it. Like, the girls run hard, the effort is super high. It just doesn't need to get to that sometimes. Or at least if you're going to do that, do it in a position or a place or a timing that makes sense to get them there a bit better. But, like, I mean, learning experiences, right? Along the way, this journey, we've spoken about, you know, marks, about how we just weren't good at marking. The other one was then keeping possession of balls, and then it was just streaming forward when we weren't ready for it. There's been like batches of two games at a time this season where we made these what feels like mistakes or like or team decisions that weren't in our favor. And then I don't know what Gowans is doing, but he's just polishing them up along the way. And then they solidify one way, and then they just move on to something else, and something even more, like, you know, systematic or more elite or more focused kind of effort. So, I mean, we say all of these things in pride, right? Because really what we're seeing is girls learning how to play the game properly, and they're getting it done. So, taking nothing away from them at all. Obviously, they made finals, bloody hell, from zero wins, right?
Can't say more than that. Yeah, you went from none out of 10 to 6 out of 10. That's a pretty good jump, isn't it?
It's wild.
So yeah, you're doing a lot right.
Yeah, doing very, very a lot right. Okay, Polly's one. Polly's voice, I'll do my best. Sorry, everyone, I apologize. You can skip 15 seconds if you have to. Brooks' goal, that was the point where I knew we're going to win. First set of tears were shed. And that's Polly's comment there. She was highly emotional for those last couple of minutes, as you can totally understand. It's brought a lot of tears to a lot of Swans eyes. It was amazing. And I think that Brooks' goal in the fourth quarter, first of the three to finish it off, that was the point where I think all of us knew, we're like, okay, we're playing better, we're getting the run to green, we got the goal, like, we're starting to put this game away. And this is when I started jumping around and the whole family started walking over going, are you all right? I'm like, not really. But it was there.
That was the third of the, there was three in the last quarter, because I mean, I watched it on delay, but I knew the result. That was the shitty thing, is I knew the score, so I knew that we were going to win, so it didn't matter. I didn't know the final score, but I knew that we clearly got the result, whatever it happened to be. And at that point, I was like, oh, you know, because that got us to, what, 10 points up, or like a goal and a half? It was still under two goals, I think, at that point, wasn't it? And then Malloy got one not long after that, which really, okay, surely this is now done. You could see the girls, the way they were jumping around. They knew at Malloy's goal that they were in. But and then the final one from Montana Ham was just rubbing a bit of salt in, really. But it was an exciting. I've watched that last quarter now like four times, I think.
I got to go back and watch it again. It was it was awesome. I was jumping around a fair bit. That was when we really noticed, like, this is it. This is the one. Like, it was amazing. All right, let's kick into the Bob Medal, which is our equivalent of the Bob Skilton Medal. We give 3-2-1 points out to the best Swans players every week. And in this week, Polly has asked to give out to the girls Polly's own friendship bracelet that she will make herself, which is amazing. We're heading up there to the Goldie to watch the game, so she will chuck these friendship bracelets as the girls are walking past, presumably without the ball. Just launch it and see if she can hit them in the wrist. That'd be amazing. Good work, Polly. And I don't know if I said this earlier, the reason that Polly's not here, she's come down with a bit of a throat flu. So that's one thing I didn't mention before. Her throat wasn't good, so she's not able to speak. Speaking is an important thing in the podcast. Unless you're me and you say things wrong all the time, to Polly, it seemed like she's got a lot more credibility than I do. So that's why she's missed out today.
I don't think with our voices you'd even notice. We sound so bloody whiny that if we had sore throats, you wouldn't even tell.
That's it. It's like walking around. Yeah, we say the same things anyway. 3-2-1. So 3 points to Gardner, our regular Laura Gardner. 2 points to The Rock Tarrant in the back line there. And 1 point to co-captain Chloe Malloy. Mate, do you want to take it away with Gardner, her game?
Oh, she killed it. I mean, surely I haven't looked at the votes or gone back and checked the votes, but surely she's got to be a runaway winner by now for our Bob medal. She had 35 touches, 6 tackles, 5 clearances. She's in everything. She brings players into the game. She's a star, and I'm absolutely stoked that Geelong thought that they'd share her with us. So thanks, Geelong.
Yeah, thanks, Geelong. Thanks for your time. Now, do they do the BNF only for the regular season, like they do with the Brownlow?
Finals as well, shouldn't it? Because Brownlow, it's not fair because not everyone makes the finals. But if your team makes the finals, surely the finals also count.
Oh, no, I mean for the AFL BNF, sorry. Like the
The
Gillon McGurkin medal.
Yeah, that one. I would imagine that it's already finished after this week.
Yeah, okay. Because
otherwise, same with like the like goal-kicking charts and this sort of stuff, it always ends end of regular season.
Yeah, just it makes sense that way, doesn't it?
Doesn't get a chance.
Yeah, okay. That makes perfect sense to us. Or let's see. And of course, I think we should just very, very quickly shout out to Erin Phillips, who 2-time BNF for the AFLW. I think that's most. I don't think anyone's ever won it twice aside from her. And she's retired as of this week was her last game. And, absolute superstar of the AFLW, mate. I know you've been a big fan of her. She's a monster of a player. She's out for good. And I don't know. I hope she's like Pierce and she stays in the football for some time because she's got a lot to give, I think. She's a wonderful person. Anything you want to say
there?
Name
it after her. Yeah, just give make it the bloody make the best and fairest league medal. That like, wait a few years maybe till she's a bit more retired, but then call it the Erin Phillips medal. I can't think of a better person to name that trophy after.
We suggested a little while back the Pierce medal. Could it be a Phillips Pierce medal? I don't know. Is that? But then do we miss out some other
like
players?
This. Yeah. I mean, you can probably go forever, but they're probably two of the foundational ones. And then the thing about Phillips for me is that she's achieved literally everything you can in 2 sports at the highest level, which is pretty ridiculous, really, when you think of how hard it is to even make that level and succeed in it, let alone dominate in 2 codes or 2 totally different sports, not even 2 codes, like basketball and footy.
Yeah.
And Pierce also has had an amazing career. Don't let me talk her down, not at all, but just I think Erin Phillips is probably one of Australia's best ever athletes, I think.
Yep. Yeah. No. Look. Co-captain of the 2016 Summer Olympic basketball women's basketball course. So, and of course, Port Adelaide and Adelaide won 2 grand finals, 2 best and fairest. I mean, monster, absolute beast. So, yep. Perhaps the Pierce Medal. So Gardner is up there. You would have to imagine for the captain's awards, captain's votes. She's up there in the coaches' votes, which has a good indication of what may be going on with the BNF. I hope that the BNF for the AFL, the Gillon McGurkin medal, look, she's a smoky. Gardner's a smoky. Maybe a little bit of an outside chance, but nonetheless, I reckon she'll be up there. So,
top 5 for sure, you'd think. Yeah. I reckon she's been very good.
Yep, no doubt about that. All right, mate, 2 points for Tarrant. Brianna Tarrant out there in the back line. You've been so hot in it for a long time. You've probably convinced me to pay more attention, and I'm a red hot fan now. Tell us about Tarrant.
She's just reliable. Like, she just, every time the ball goes back there, especially this season, you just feel calm because she's going to be in the right position. She reads the ball so well coming in. She knows exactly when to sort of separate from her player and how to work her player into a worse position so she can then occupy the dangerous space where the ball is going to land and reads the flight in as part of that. She had another 9 intercept possessions on the weekend, which was the most on the field. Like, she's just constantly on the end of it. I wouldn't want to be a half forward or a winger or a midfielder kicking into our forward line if I had to think, okay, not just where is my forward hopefully going to be, but like, where the bloody hell is Tarrant, you know? So she's a star. She's a real star. And I didn't see if she made the team of the week this week, but she should have been close.
She did, actually. She made team of the week this week.
Yeah.
Well deserved, definitely. And the only Swans who made it this week, I'm pretty sure. So Tarrant, superstar, as you said there, she's just an absolute rock. And it's not just the numbers. Like, for her, obviously, she's got the 9 intercept possessions, which as a back girl, that's huge. But just her ability to keep her feet, her ability to impact every contest, her ability to keep her opponent down. The smart things she does with the footy, the way she goes laterally when she has to, rather than just pumping up, she finds people on the outside, smooth handballs. You know, she does everything well, and it's really hard to put a fault on her game. It's actually impossible to find a fault in her game. And it seems like she gets better every single week. She just learns a bit more and a bit more and a bit more. And I think we got our superstar in the making right here. We got ourselves a bit of a rampy or something.
Yeah, she's a gun.
Yeah. All right. Let's see where Tarrant ends up in time. 1 point for Chloe Malloy, Captain Chloe Malloy. She's gotten plenty of votes in this year's Bob medal. You'd have to imagine she's up there for second place behind Gardner at this point. Mate, what do you want to say about Malloy on another big game for the captain?
She gives spark around the ball, and she doesn't really need to even have that many touches, because every time she's at a contest, she impacts the contest. This week she got a couple of goals as well. She was involved in 7 of our scores, which is about half of our scores, I guess, which is a lot. And then when she gets it, she typically has these very impactful game-breaking type moments, like the way that she's able to break a tackle or to sort of move herself into space, because she's got this incredible like hip strength and core strength that she doesn't go to ground easily. She's had an amazing season. She's had several amazing seasons at this level, and I think we're lucky to have her, and she's a big part. I mean, the three that we've just listed, Gardner, Tarrant, Malloy, a massive part of the improvement of this team this year.
Yeah, totally. And she also kicked her 50th goal of her career in the first quarter. So, big milestone for the girl. And, the team got around her. And it's just the way she brings the team around her as well. She's obviously, like you said, a spark in the team. She leads from the front always with effort, with class, with talent. She brings in the girls when she needs to. She'll give away kicks when it makes sense. Yeah, she's just an absolute trooper. So 3-2-1, Gardner, Tarrant, Malloy, all of them get friendship bracelets from Polly. Good on you, Polly. I'm sure those friendship bracelets are well constructed in mighty red and white. Mate, honorable mentions, who do you have on your side? I've got a couple. Take it away with yours.
I'll start with Montana Ham. I said Chloe Malloy had 7 score involvements, which is half. Well, Montana was also involved in 7 scores, and that was equal best on ground with Chloe for that stat. She's playing a bit of a different role. She looks like she's playing a bit more sort of like forward, half forward, sometime in the midfield. So she's not getting big stat games, but some of the stuff that she does to generate scores, I think, is really important. She had 2 really good gathers in the forward 50 earlier in the game, which she unfortunately didn't finish. She kicked behind. But then those last 3 goals that really got us ahead and won us the game, she had a role, a very important role in all of them. The first one, Lachlan's goal, she had that really great pickup on the wing and a quick handball out. And the thing I really liked about that one is the passage of play before that, she'd been beaten in the forward 50 by her Fremantle opponent, and Fremantle had run the ball out. And rather than sort of, you know, getting the shits at herself and getting out of it, she worked up and became the next option again when the ball came back in and helped set up that goal. The second one, she gave the hand pass out to Chloe, who goaled, and the last one, she kicked herself from a good mark. So this sort of involvement from Montana, I just love, because she's got a class that I think puts her above. And she was the number 1 draft pick, so we knew this to begin with, but she's showing it, and it's really nice to see.
Yeah, she's looking stronger as the season's going on. I'd love to see more of her doing more, impacting more, but She's doing quite a lot. As you just suggested there, she's doing plenty already, but it just you just can't get enough of her. You really want her, you want her everywhere. Wherever the ball is, you want her. She's just a solid player. She can mark, she can kick, she makes great runs. She's just excellent. She's a big girl, good size. Efforts high. It's everything about her is just superb. I just want to see more of Montana Ham everywhere in the ground. Let's see if we can replicate her in some way. I'm not sure how. I'm not a scientist. I will take Lisa Steen. I've nicknamed her Head of Steam Steen. She was playing the role of the attacker, the tackler this week, I could tell. And she had all eyes on every tackle that she'd get down. She was putting pressure down on everyone. And she was a huge part of why the pressure game really worked for us. I felt that she was an enormous part of that. So big raps for Lisa Steen. What about you, mate? Any others you want to bring up?
I got one more. Amy Whelan, she was great. She, especially in that first part of the game when Fremantle were really grinding it, she was part of us grinding back, like, because it was very much an attrition thing, which in the end the Swans were able to break it open later in the game. But in that real grind period, Amy Whelan was huge, I think, and her pace out of the middle was also really important. But her tackle work, she made 13 tackles, which was the second best after Kiara Bowers, who had a ridiculous 18 from Fremantle. She was tackling everything yeah. in a Swans jumper. She just drilled her shoulder into.
Maybe without as well, Bowers. We don't know.
Yeah, she was hitting everybody. But Amy Whelan was our best for tackles with 13. She had a really, 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 really strong game, playing that really tough, gritty football, which we needed in those three quarters. We really needed that, and she delivered.
Beauty, mate. She was. I saw her doing a mad run out of the middle too. She just seems like she has no fear as well. Like she's like, you know, when Malloy gets going, she's like just runs straight, and you can't put hands on it. She had that moment, and I was just like, wow, who's this girl? Like this is something maybe new we can see out from her. So hopefully she gets some opportunity to use her skills there. I just want to quickly pick up one. I got two more. Very very fast. Sophia Hurley, another fantastic week by her. Not the greatest on the stat sheet, but she looked classy. One thing I did notice with her is that she finds room where there is no room. So she plays hard inside, but she still manages to find herself with a patch of grass to walk into. And when there is grass to take up, she uses that grass. She makes the opponents come to her to try to drag pressure onto her. So I just another opportunity for as she gets better and better as she is, she just finds more time on the ground. And given how young she is, she's a superstar in the making and potentially a captain as well. And one quick one, Tanya Kennedy, playing enforcer. So whenever one of the girls was kind of getting a little bit too touchy with Gardner, she would go over there and put a bit of a body on her on the opponent to remind them that they can, don't touch my girl, basically. So I love that from Tanya. She's got grit. She is a fantastic gritty player. I love the way she goes about it. Anything else you want to mention, mate, before we move into the post game? Anything about the game at all?
Look, we could probably list more than half the girls. Everyone was really good. I mean, we went over to Fremantle in a tough away trip and won a game that we needed to win to make the finals. As far as I'm concerned, all the girls who played probably deserve extra mentions. But yeah, it's been quite a ride for the last 10 weeks, eh?
It's been an amazing ride, especially when we first started this. We're like, we don't know what's going to happen, right? You have no idea. Like, as you said, we were hoping for one win, anywhere between one and four. You know, I was like, yep, super happy with four. You know, five would be wild. You know, six, and in finals, like, mate, I couldn't have asked for more from these girls. And I think we could take a moment quickly to just point out as well, like, it's the whole system, right? The Swannies themselves and the club has put effort into this. They are actively hired on personality as well as just skill set. They've hired a very, very excellent coach who understands the game and supported him greatly. And it's showing up. And year two, we are showing up with fantastic results. I mean, it helps when you get a Gardner practically for free. Malloy comes up, Lucy McAvoy comes up, you know, absolute star players coming up. That helps massively. But if they're not coached well, you might as well not have them. So a big shout out to the whole coaching group, in particular Scott Gowans, Mr. Go Swans. I don't think any Swans fan wouldn't recognize probably how important he's been to all of this as well. So we don't mention him much, but yeah, superb stuff from him and a true leader, no doubt. Anything else, mate, before we move on?
Nah, that's
Let's
it.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. Post-game, a ladder and standings, of course. The regular season is over. Mate, do you want to take it away with where we ended up?
We finished eighth. We made the finals. We won six. Yeah. We lost four. Yeah. In 2022, we won none. We lost 10. We had a percentage of 35.9. This year, we had a percentage of 106.9, which is a 71% increase, I think, if I'm adding up right. 71% jump in percentage, which is a massive effort. And those six wins almost weren't enough either. St Kilda also won six and missed the finals. So a 60% record missing finals for St Kilda is tough to chew on for sure. And really it goes back to some of those games that Polly was mentioning in the comments of hers that you made, that we were able to, you know, when we did win, put a couple of extra goals on teams, and we didn't get blown out too badly besides a couple of games really where we got really done by Brisbane. Every other loss was within a reasonable margin, and then we had that big one against the Dogs, and these are the things that got us those extra, 4 or 5 percentage points that meant that we weren't St Kilda coming ninth. So that was a huge effort.
Yeah, it was scary for a moment there where it looked like the only reason that we were I didn't even know why we were on top, because one of them was showing that we had the same percentage even on the TV broadcast as it was happening live, but we were coming in eighth over ninth. So I don't know whether there's a two-man sack race that happens at the beginning of the season that's like sorts this all out. I'm not sure how it works. I don't know how it works.
I think probably it's just that on the – that's because I saw the same thing and I was thinking, what's that? But then I think it would be that on the screen, like that little mini ladder they put up, they only go to 2 decimal points. And so probably if you went to further decimal points, the Swans would be ahead. That's my guess at least.
How far did decimal points go, you think? Like
to millions, have as many millions as they need to get
as many as you need to. Like how far does Excel go? Like the SQL database system on float. Just that's a geeky term. Sorry, everyone who's not a developer. So look, we're in finals. Huge, big game ahead of us in the Gold Coast this Saturday coming up. If you're living in Gold Coast and you're a Swans fan, make sure you get to the game. It's $10 for crying out loud. Make yourself to the game. It's a Saturday afternoon, actually a good time. I think it's a 5:30 kickoff, or tip-off or whatever, bounce. It is fantastic timing. It's an actual good time for AFLW. Let's not talk about what's going on in Melbourne where AFL headquarters have just decided to not bother with AFLW because they put two games on the Sunday at these obscure times, and they've not allowed for people to go to both games because one's in Geelong, one's there, and the timing's bad. They could have done one on Saturday, one on Sunday. Who knows? I don't know why. I don't think they do either. But if you're in Gold Coast, make sure you get out to the game. Come say hello. We're going to do everything we can. I'm sure it's going to be a good showing. And your girls are in the finals. Like anything can happen from here. We've proven that we can beat good teams. If the girls turn up on the day, we can beat anyone, of course. I mean, it's cliche, but that's exactly how it is in finals. You have to turn up on the game. Okay, let's talk about Gold Coast then, mate. I'll pass it over to you to wrap up how their season's gone and how it all looks.
Their season's been pretty similar to ours, actually. Mm. I was looking about it, and we don't have much form against the Gold Coast either. We played them last year late in the season, lost by 34. We beat them by 7 in the preseason, but preseason form isn't really often much of an indicator, nor is a game that happened last year with a totally different squad of players. So I think that in terms of form against Gold Coast, we don't really have that much. And the problem we have with the AFL system here, or the AFL, the way that they manage the AFLW, is that they still have only given 10 games despite having 18 teams, which means that you don't play 7 out of the other 17 teams. So we haven't played them this year, the Gold Coast. We don't have anything to look at. What I was able to do, though, was go back and look at our common opponents. And we've actually played 7 common opponents.
Oh, wow.
With Gold Coast, yeah, which was quite more than I'd expected, actually. And so I had a quick look back over them to get an idea of like how we've gone when we've had the same opposition. And it balances out pretty fair. If you listen through this, I'll just quickly run through them. Against Carlton, they won by 2 points. We lost by 5 points. That's pretty even. Against West Coast, they smashed them by 73. We only managed to beat them by 13. But then against the Dogs, the other really struggling team, they only beat them by 4, but we smash them by 57. So those West Coast and Dogs ones roughly balance out. Against Collingwood, they beat them by 12. We beat them by 19. That's about the same. We both got pumped by Brisbane. They lost by 36. We lost by 55. They drew against Port. We beat Port by 15. And they beat Port. They beat the Giants by 31. We beat them by 5 in our first win. So in terms of who we've played in our balance, it's not that far off with us and the Suns. They had a slightly more tough fixture than we do. We only played, in the end, we had the best fixture out of all of the teams that were sort of contending for finals. We had only 2 games against top 8 teams in the end. We lost both, which was Geelong and Brisbane. Gold Coast had 3 games, and they beat Essendon and lost their other 2. So we're pretty even when it comes to the Suns and our form line this year. So I see a very balanced contest going into the match.
Yeah, genuine opportunity to win this game. Like, that's not even just... That's not us being biased. That is a genuine opportunity to win this game away. So, yeah. Look, one of the advantages, I kind of feel bad about saying this, considering she has a brother that plays for the men's Swans, but Charlie Rowbottom, who is one of the absolute superstars of the game, you know, you have to imagine top 10 players easily, just takes her team every single week. She's actually gone in for ankle surgery for this season, and so she is out for the rest of the season, including finals. That's a huge out for them. I would have to suggest that is their biggest player gone from the season.
Yeah, take like Chloe Malloy or Gardner or McAvoy or one of these players out of our side and see how we react. We've been lucky that we haven't had any of our real prime movers missing for big chunks of the season. So for them to not have Charlie in the biggest game of their club's history. Really, they did make finals a couple of years ago, but it was in that COVID-affected season where they didn't reward a premiership in the end. So this is a huge game for them too. It's massive for us, but it's there. You know, they've never hosted a final up there. It's big, and for her to be gone sucks for them. Really sucks.
Yeah, massive. I mean, Ali Morfitt is also another consideration for us. She is out with hand surgery, obviously. I think it was round 7, maybe 7 or 8. I think around 7 is when she came off. The suggestion was that she is out for the season, but they were very clear to say the regular season. We don't know how to read into that. Does that mean early finals? Does that mean late finals? Like, if we were just suggesting that she's like iffy, come close to the finals. So I guess, question for you without notice, do we suggest that we might see her into selection, or is, because that's closed doors, we have no idea, right? I guess that's where I'm going with it.
Yeah, we don't have any clue as to what her progress is with injury. And actually, after having said that, we haven't lost any gun players for chunks of this, and we did. We lost Ali for like 4 weeks.
Ali,
so there you
yeah.
go. So we did lose one. I mean, we were lucky we've been able to work through it and around it. But I think Charlie Rowbottom missing is a massive difference to, as much as I love Ali Morfitt and her role on the team, it's a difference between those two players in class for sure. Yeah, like you said, Charlie's one of the elite players in the competition. Ali is an up-and-comer, and she's been amazing this year. And we have certainly missed her. If she's out, if she's all right, I'd play her. I mean, why not? I think that if, because it's one of these things that you don't want to further injure a player, but then if they're all right to play and it's a big final, then, you know, if you don't play, maybe you don't have another final. So if she's good, I reckon they'll play her.
Yeah. All right. Let's see how it goes. I mean, the ruck situation, just very quickly with the ruck situation, I think we lost the rucks by 28, hit outs by 28, but we won the clearances by 7. And that's been the trend for the girls since we've lost Ali. We've not been that competitive in hit outs, but we still won the clearances. So I think it's much of a muchness, perhaps. And even when Ali was winning the hit outs, we were losing clearances just because of the state of the game we were and the teams we were playing at the time. So it's much of a muchness, I feel. Like, if the team is going well and firing off the cylinders now, I kind of feel like unless she is 100% to go and it makes the most amount of sense, maybe we can pull into emergencies or something and throw into the mix or something. But I don't know. If the girls are playing well without her, then I'm kind of inclined to just let that happen. I let the girls finish off the season and let Ali be at her best for next year. That's my eye on it.
Yeah. We don't know either. We tried to find, we scoured the internet for news stories about her injury progress, couldn't find anything. So we're just hoping, guessing, you know, that she may or may not be right based on a newspaper article from 3 weeks ago that said she'd be out for the regular season, probably assuming at the time the Swans wouldn't make the finals. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So she's probably crooked. There's probably no way she plays, you know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it depends on the hands. Hands are so intricate too. Like, there's so many muscles and bones and ligaments. And
for a ruck, was it a right or left hand? I don't know. Was it a tapping hand? I can't remember. But yeah.
I mean, favour the other hand. Like, yeah, I don't know. All right. Well, look, let's get stuck into one last thing very, very quickly. Mate, do you have anything before I talk about my one?
I don't, because I'm looking forward to your one.
Okay. Earlier this season, there was a suggestion that maybe getting tattoos if the girls made finals was something we could do. And I jumped on that straight away. I was like, yep, I'm in. I'm straight in. And some people have reminded us, of course, on Twitter to say like, hey, didn't you say you're going to get tattoos? Is it great to the girls got through to the finals? And we did. So I am going to go ahead with that. I'm in the middle of picking what my design is going to be. Probably going to go on my thigh at this point. And at this point, I'm choosing a black swan with the red tip, because I love the story of the black swan from the Dreamtime. And that's underway. I don't know where we're going to do it. My mum reckons, because I'm heading up to the Goldie with mum, she reckons the girls win, get in the Terps, go get the tattoo. I'm like, hang on, am I talking to my mum or my best mate here? What's going on here? Like, this is some pretty loose talking from mum, right? So I don't know what's going
to happen. So you're telling me that you're going to go to the Gold Coast on a Y weekend and get a tattoo, like a schoolies weekend kind of.
Yeah, and schoolies is I'm pretty sure schoolies got happening about now, maybe in a week.
Oh,
or so.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so this is going to be pretty funny. So I don't know.
With your mum, that's wicked.
It's pretty funny. Dad's like, for the love of God, get your mum out of the house. And I'm like, mum, let's go to Goldie, let's do it. And she's like, all right, sweet, let's go. So we're heading up. So yeah, so I'm heading off to, if you're a tattoo artist out there, or if you know about tattoos a fair bit, and you can suggest some people in around Sydney or in the Goldie for that matter, please let me know, reach out to me. I'm willing to listen. I never had a tattoo in my life. This would be my first. I'm picking the design. Some people have been nice enough to advise a couple of things. But yeah, look, reach out to me. That'd be really good. I'd love to hear everything about it. That brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you very much. Girls are in the finals. It's huge. Make sure you get around them. Get heavy on the social media. Let everyone know about it. Make sure you bring your friends over. Go watch the game at a venue. Let people know there's a game going on. Tell your friends, family, everyone in between, your work colleagues, the whole lot. This is a big thing. AFLW is wicked. The Swans are number one in attendance. The Swans are in the finals. Let's do what we can to progress this this game a whole lot further with the girls. Until then, mate, we'll see you at the Goldie, up the Swans, and can you Swannies?